Kristen Jim, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thanks for having us, Gene.
I was caught in by the title of the exhibition, now at Visionaries and Voices, where you provide opportunities and support to artists with disabilities. This show is called The Little Things. And because our society so often seems interested only in bigger or biggest, I wanted to know more about it. But in looking into it, I find that lots is going on these days at Visionaries and Voices. So we have a number of things to talk about. But let's begin with the exhibition. What can you tell us about The Little Things, Krista?
The idea for The Little Things, conceptually, I think in our society, saying that speaks to ideas of gratitude. Really, the little things make the big things possible. And working in a nonprofit and in a community like Visionaries and Voices, there are so many small moving parts that have to work together collaboratively in order for this big, wonderful thing that's Visionaries and Voices to happen. So conceptually, that sort of buttresses the concept behind the exhibition. But organically, we respond to, for themes and shows, what's going on in both studios. And we noticed, the staff noticed, that there was a remarkable amount of little things being made. Those two things kind of collided at the same time. And when the idea for the exhibition was thrown out, we all kind of grabbed onto it and said, this is a wonderful way to express not only what's happening physically with the object making, but what's really happening with us as an organization.
So, Jim, as development director, what are you working on right now?
We're full steam ahead on our big event fundraiser called Double Vision 7. It's going to be happening on May the 7th at St. Xavier High School. It's a live and silent auction of art created collaboratively by V&V artists and community artists.
And Krista, you had a recent trip to New York that produced some interesting results.
Mm-hmm. Every year, there's the New York Outsider Art Fair. We had the opportunity to travel to it, myself and a few of my colleagues this year, because an artist working from the studio, Andrew Hostick, was recognized by a gallery in New York, Morgan Lehman, who does not traffic in outsider art. They recognized his work as being something significant and unique and vital. So they approached me about commissioning his work and having a solo representation of his work at the New York Outsider Art Fair. That is a huge financial undertaking. It's not anything that we have the resources to support. So we took advantage of getting Andrew into that limelight. And amazing things happened for him. Roberta Smith, who's the arts writer for The Times, tweeted and Instagrammed his work. Her husband, Jerry Sauls, also singled Andrew out as one of the remarkable things to see at the fair this year. Becca Hoffman, who's the organizer of the fairs in both Paris and New York, listed 10 things to not miss at this year's fair. Andrew was one of the things not to miss. He's rocketing to success. It's remarkable. His work is really, really engaging and evocative, too. He paraphrases ads out of Art Forum and Art in America. He's pushing these really uber-contemporary ideas through this primitive filter of his. And that collision of modern and primitive that comes out in his work is beautiful and is capturing people's attention. So that was the thing that happened at the fair. And then collaterally, while we were there at a meeting with Matthew Higgs, who is a curator who runs a wonderful nonprofit gallery in New York called White Columns, and he has been interested in Dale Jackson, who is another artist that works from the studio who creates work that's more poetic. It's text-based work, very non sequitur and lovely in its retelling of his life story in his day-to-day. And they offered him a solo show in the fall as well. Yeah, it's a really, really exciting time to be at V&V because the art world is paying attention to what's happening internally.
So how do the artists respond to this?
They're thrilled. It's a level of success that any artist wants to achieve. It's hard, I think, to wrap your head around the broader picture of the implications of what the success could mean. Right now, everyone is just happy.
Tell us about the show that's at the Public Library right now.
That project was spearheaded by Karen Boyan, who's our creative director, and Jamie Munzer, who's the education outreach director. The idea was to create a male art show where, you know, male art has its roots in the Fluxus movement of the 60s. What is art? Who makes art? Why is it valuable? Who commodifies it? So passing art through the mail was a very democratic process of communication and communication through art in an artful way. So we thought it would be a great way for artists at our studios to reach out internationally to the world. So Karen and Jamie put together the proposal and put a call out to artists internationally, and we ended up receiving over 250 pieces of mail from all over the world and responding to them. So what you see on view at the downtown library demonstrates what we received. So that's an interesting twist on it, too. It's not demonstrating what we are making. It's demonstrating what we're responding to. So I thought that that was just a great tool for communication.
Well, another activity is the Arts of America Marketplace.
Mm-hmm. That was born out of a desire from the artists who come to Visionaries and Voices for richer professional practices programming. So what we do at our openings, we host five openings at our north side location, 3841 Spring Grove Avenue, every year. And during those openings, our gallery is open and connected to the studio. So artists who work in the studio have an opportunity to set up a booth, if you will. It's kind of an outsider art crafty supermarket where they can present on their table what they're making currently. They have business cards, artist statements. It gives them an opportunity to interact with the public at artist patron level to develop interest in patrons for their work and how to market themselves in the greater Cincinnati arts community.
Well, another thing that I'm wondering about, and perhaps you can answer this, Jim, do most cities have institutions like V&V, or are you an unusual venture?
That's a good question, and we go back and forth and work about who our peers are and everything. I tell people that there are approximately 35 to 40 peer organizations around the country, and by that I mean we're all about art, the creation, the exhibition, and the teaching of art. There's many agencies that support people with disabilities that will have maybe an arts and craft programming option among their many options for the clients they serve. We're just art. I think there's maybe 20 states in the union that don't even have an organization like V&V. And I tell people, this is a great city, and V&V is an important part of what makes this a great arts community as well as a great place to live and work.
I should think that the whole mission would be very appealing to donors. Is that the case?
It is. You know, and there's some folks want to support us because of the arts programming, which is great. And other folks are very appreciative and supportive of the fact that we are there for people with disabilities. I mean, for me, I don't really care why you want to support V&V. Just support us. And at the end of the day, that's really what is providing the resources to support our artists. That's the most important thing. But yeah, it's a very appealing mission that we have, and the more we do to get the word out about who we are and what we are and the services we provide, the more support we generate.
Thanks so much, Krista and Jim, for coming in to talk with us about it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Krista Gregory, Exhibition Director, and Jim Niehard, Development Director of Visionaries and Voices. For a link to more information, see wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Jane Durrell.